Dr. Rabinowitz, good to hear from you again.
I was enjoying listening to that last conversation.
That's most of the things that we do here. Well, unless somebody calls up with their aches and pains, and then we're off on the health thing.
We could do an experiment. We could have people take their blood pressure at home while they're watching the debate, while they're calling in to discuss it, to see if there's a correlation.
Don't you think there would be? Depending on who it was.
there might be.
Yeah. All right. Now, let me tell people that you're a nationally recognized physician, noted healthcare authority, in case anyone hasn't heard you before. And you've appeared on numerous TV and talk shows, and you're the founder of the Southampton-based Prevention First Healthcare. Now, this I'm very interested in this myself. It's a revolutionary practice which focuses on patients' proactive wellness. No wait times. Come on. Is that true? Really?
It's basically true. What we do is...
I wait like an hour and a half sometimes.
No, that would never happen.
No, okay.
What we do is because it's a small size practice. You have to understand the average practice in the States right now is somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 people. And with the attrition of physicians, which is actually frightening.
Yes, it is.
You don't see younger people going into what are called primary care specialties like internal medicine, family practice, or pediatrics. So that you have people, in other words, people are turning 80. That number doubles every 5 years. So if you have a million people that are 80 in 5 years, you'll have 2 million people. And your number of physicians is dropping off. Number of primary care physicians is dropping off just as fast. So it creates an access problem where people are calling and they can't get in. And one of the things I speak about frequently is that trying to educate people, and I do community service, and I give lectures and adult education courses, that if you're going to be limited to a six-minute office visit, which is the average visit for, according to the American Academy of Family Practice, 10 minutes to the, according to the American Academy of American College of Physicians for Internists, what do you need to know? Because people tend to go to a doctor when they're sick. And what we try to do is to get them to come when they're well. Now, we're obviously always here for them when they're sick. I'm available 24/7. All my patients get my personal cell phone number. So, and they use it. If there's something wrong, they're unreachable after hours, nights, and weekends. And we solve problems. And what the result of that is you keep people out of the hospital. You keep them out of emergency rooms. I'll open up the office for them on weekends to come in and see them. And nobody knows them better than I do.
That's great.
One of the things we wanted to talk about today was vaccinations. And when I do these local talks, what I tell people is that they should really familiarize themselves with adult vaccine schedules, because in the course of a visit, if you're only going in, if your blood pressure medicine renewed or a cholesterol check or a sugar check, you're maybe 10 years since you've had a tetanus shot. There's, and we'll talk about this a little further on as the show goes on, but there's a new vaccine to prevent pneumonia. And, you know, if the doctor's busy, they may not remember to give it to you or to tell you about it.
Dr. Rabinowitz, I had a pneumonia shot a long time ago. Is there a newer one?
Well,
I'd say 20 years ago I had one.
I'm not going to be so impolite as to ask your age. You sound a bit 30 to me, but
I'm 130.
I don't think so. Okay. The recommendation, the general recommendation of the CDC, and by the way, I think the CDC is pretty much the gold standard, but there's recommendations from the American College of Physicians, the United States Task Force on Preventative Illnesses. There's not just one governing body in this country, so even though we're heading towards socialization, it's really not that way. And there's some, there's some differences of opinion, although I think they're very, very minor. But broadly speaking, for any adult over the age of 65, they would receive a pneumonia vaccine. It's called a pneumococcal vaccine. And in English, it doesn't prevent you from all pneumonias. It prevents you from getting pneumonia if you get infected with one of 23 varieties of strep. It's given to people under 65 if they don't have a spleen, either by trauma or if they would have sickle cell anemia, which would destroy the spleen, if they have emphysema, if they would have certain types of congestive heart failure, if they were diabetic, if they had asthma. Everybody over 65 gets it. And what they came out with a couple of years ago is another pneumococcal vaccine, because they discovered that there are 13 additional varieties of strep, which in strep, by the way, is everywhere. It lives on our skin harmlessly. Mm-hmm. But there's 13 additional varieties that cause pneumonia and serious illness. So this is called Prevnar. And the way that's administered is, if a patient is turning 65, the Center for Disease Control asks that they receive the Prevnar vaccine first, and then within at least a year, but it could be within 6 months, they then receive the older, what was used to be called, the pneumonia vaccine or Pneumovax. If somebody is already over 65 and they have received the pneumococcal vaccine, then they should get the Prevnar 13.
You know, a lot of people don't even know about that.
Well, people see things on television, and I'll be frank with you, when this was first marketed to us, the people that marketed, either because there wasn't an official position, sort of offered it as a better alternative to an older vaccine, but it's not an alternative, it's an additional vaccine. So, think about it as being additive. There's 36 varieties of streptococcus that we know of that cause serious infection. The older vaccine gets 23, the new one gets 13.
Well, I want to tell you something interesting about it. You can catch pneumonia, correct?
Well, here's what I think happens. Things are contagious. There's no doubt about it. But we're now getting into the flu season.
Yes.
And between the months of October and May is when the flu becomes an epidemic in northern hemispheres.
Mm-hmm.
What people, unfortunately, will die from if they get the flu. Remember, there's about 200,000 hospitalizations in the United States annually for flu, and usually that's for the pneumonia accompanied by the flu.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 30,000 deaths, and I will tell you that I personally witnessed a young woman die of a post-influenza pneumonia. And, there's certain things in life as a doctor that strike you. And when you witness something like that in a young person with a child, and medical science can't save their life, there's nothing more you can do. I meet with people all day long, and I really beg them to get a flu shot.
Right.
And Pat, I'll tell you, there are people that say, "Doctor, why never get a flu shot?" And so what I tell people that, and I don't know why they don't want to get a flu shot.
I can tell you what I heard yesterday. I'll tell you why. Every time my husband had a flu shot, he got sick. That's why this person told me yesterday she never gets a flu shot. And I said, it's a dead virus, isn't it? I said that. I said, it's a dead virus.
Actually,
you don't catch the flu from that.
There are live viruses. They're administered intranasally.
Yeah.
But they're not given to any pregnant women, and they're not given to people over the age of 49 or anyone that's ill. They're mainly given because somebody's needle phobic. They don't want to get a needle. We actually now have flu viruses that you can order that are air-injected. Now, I will tell you, for people that have had that, it hurts just as much as the needle does. So you're sort of kidding yourself. And the needles are very tiny, but it's an inactivated virus. So they take the virus particle, they heat treat it and kill it, so that when it's administered, what it does is it causes your immune system to recognize that virus, so that if you're exposed, so let's say you're out at the mall and you're doing your shopping, and the person before you sneezed on their hand and touched the door handle. You didn't say it. You touch the door handle next. You touch your face. And now you're exposed to that virus. Well, by getting a vaccination, your body's immune system, it's sort of like having the National Guard or Army on standby.
Mm-hmm.
And now they recognize it, attack it, and kill it, and you don't become chronically ill. And what the flu is, it's a respiratory illness.
Mm-hmm.
That people, it's contagious. You catch it by somebody else's secretions, by sneezing, by coughing. And when I tell people that don't want to get the flu vaccine, what the flu is, it's not diarrhea. It's a respiratory illness. Somebody feels well, and most people can tell you to the minute that I've had the flu, even with the shot, because it doesn't always work, that you feel like you've been run over by a truck, that every muscle in your body is aching like you've never ached before. And the reason that happens, by the way, is the virus invades muscle cells and destroys them. That's why you're in so much pain. Then you have a high fever, usually 101, but it may be higher. Mine was 103, and a dry cough, and then a headache, which can be terrible, which is also caused by this virus, destroying muscle cells. You can't have diarrhea with it. The thing I tell my patients is that if you get those symptoms, you must call me within 48 hours because we have antiviral drugs. The antiviral drugs do shorten the course of the disease. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is you may want to administer it to other family members in the house. Mm-hmm. Somebody may have a husband or a wife that is diabetic, that has emphysema, has a heart condition. Mm-hmm. So you would then treat them for 10 days to prophylax them or prevent them from getting the illness.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting. Isn't it true, there's so many different strains of influenza? Is that right? That when you get a shot, it's for what they think is going to come around. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. So what they do is the manufacturers monitor the viruses that are occurring at the end of the season, and then they raise the vaccine. So there's things called quadrivalent or trivalent. Mm-hmm. I mean, people may hear these words. In English,
I heard trivalent.
Tri means three. Mm-hmm. So that means that vaccine is raised for two strains of influenza A, one strain of influenza B. And quadrivalent means it's 2A and 2B.
Oh, okay.
But what happened last year wasn't that the vaccine didn't work. It's that the virus mutated. And these viruses mutate all the time. And there was no way that the manufacturers could have foreseen that from happening.
I know that's true. I want to ask you, how do people get in touch with you? Can they have a consultation? Because I don't think people understand this type of practice that you have.
Well, they can call it 215-PREVENT or go online at 215prevent.com. And what we do is we meet with people for free for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And people come in and I basically shut up and listen to them. And they tell me what's been going on. And usually, whatever their medical problem is, I sit and I pay close attention and listen to. And then I tell them how a practice like mine would afford them an hour and a half of my time right off the bat. And then all their visits would be half an hour with minimal to no wait times. Well, I am an internist. I take care of some very healthy people. I take care of young people, and I take care of very sick people.
Mm-hmm.
And as a doctor, somebody may come in before you that may be hemorrhaging, that may be having a heart attack, that I may have to put into a hospital. So, but the wait usually is never more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But usually they all start, people value their time. But part of that time is it's a constant process because, for example, I may sit down at the annual physical and review the vaccinations, but it may be that the patient's not sure. You know, doctor, they may have just joined my practice. I'm not sure if I've had those vaccinations, or I thought my specialist gave it to me. So then you have to take time to track down these records, and that's why we bring people back throughout the year for follow-up preventative visits, just to make sure that, we close the gaps. Rather than letting it wait for years. Let me just give you one. I'm going to go off the topic for 1 second. Let me give you a very interesting example. My phone rings all the time, and thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a phone call on a Saturday.
You don't want it to stop ringing.
Don't want it to stop ringing. Want it to ring more.
Yeah.
So I get a phone call on a Saturday from an executive that I take care of, and one of their higher-level employees came down and was told she had a breast cancer. I happen to know this person. And when the patient made contact with the surgeon about having a definitive procedure done, the patient was told, well, we can't get it scheduled for a month. And the patient was hysterical. And they called me, and I said, well, do I have your permission to have the person call me? And they did, and I listened. And by taking a history, what I was able to determine was that the patient most likely had a genetic form of breast cancer. And when I asked her, when you went to your doctor or to the gynecologist, did anybody take an extensive family history when you first went or ever update it? And she said no. What was interesting was that the patient's mother had gotten breast cancer in her 20s and died, as did the mother's sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody either asked or nobody updated the health information, because what should have happened was that patient should have been genetically tested and then offered a prophylactic mastectomy before she ever got the cancer,
mm-hmm.
or monitored with newer techniques such as three-dimensional mm-hmm. mammography or MRI of the breast, or be put involved with a geneticist. So not that anybody did anything wrong, but remember, people go when they're sick. They don't tend to go when they're well. And these are the things we do. We sit down and we spend a great deal of time, more than mm-hmm. you would ever get in your 6 or 10 minute office visit, asking these questions, updating the vaccinations, telling people. By the way, our vaccine schedules change. Things really do change. Maybe not every year, but pretty close to it every year, every other year. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, there's vaccines that are being experimented with that I'll read about, and a patient will ask me about it. Getting something, and I'll say, look, I think there's something about to be released that's much better than what we have. So those are the advantages we offer to people.
Well, I think it's great. Now, so what do you? The bottom line here is that now's the season. Besides the silly season for politics, now is the season for people to think about getting their flu shot and get one, right?
Yes, everybody really.
Children?
Yeah, that's people over the age of 6 months. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are contraindications. A person that's ever had a condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome,
right,
which is a rare complication of getting a flu vaccine, should not get it. Somebody that has an egg allergy should not get the usual flu vaccine, but there is a flu vaccine that's cultured actually in cells. It's not made in eggs, that does exist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That's good to know, because I have heard that from people. I'm allergic to eggs, so I can't get one. But I think it's very good when people are in the workplace. Don't you hate it when those conscientious employees come to work sneezing and coughing? I mean, my God.
Well, look, you know, I tell people, I said, you know, they did a study in the New England Journal of Medicine, and I bet you this study is 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And what they looked at was what happens when you vaccinate young people. Young is under 60. Back then was under 65. I think in my practice, young is under 100.
I told you I'm 130. I sound good, don't I?
I have a very highly functional practice.
Yeah, it's good.
People that are in amazingly good shape. Most of them, or many of them. Lost my train of thought about
the vaccines, I don't know, age. People under 65 or people over 65 should get it. Yeah, people not going to work
anyway,
sick.
Anybody, I apologize. Anybody over the age of 6 months.
Yeah. Six months.
Over the age of 6 months. Oh. But you don't immunize babies. Pregnant women can get the vaccine. And then there are people that are in a sort of a high-risk group. Where I have people that are on chemotherapy, I will then have to call the oncologist with my patient there and say, listen, is this patient allowed to have that vaccine? So I think anybody that has a question really needs to get in touch with their doctor. Flu shots are administered lots of places. I've held fundraisers where we've given out flu shots to raise money for multiple sclerosis and for lymphoma. But when people are going to get it at the pharmacy, they really ought to be thinking, I think the pharmacies do ask, you know, do you have any other chronic health problems? Are there any things that we should know about?
Yeah, I think that's very important. But, I mean, there are so many people. I can remember when I was working in a big office one time. There were people that just didn't believe in them. How can you not believe in them? People get sick. But someone just told me yesterday, oh, no, my husband got really sick when he got the flu vaccine. Like, in other words, he got it from the vaccine. That's what she was saying.
No, you can't. It's a dead virus.
It's dead.
The reason people get sick, Pat, is because they're getting the vaccine at the same time we're seeing other respiratory viruses.
Right.
And people getting colds. And so then they may get the shot and say, well, the shot gave it to me.
That's
the shot can't give it to you. It can give you a sore arm, but it's not giving you the vaccine.
Okay. Now, to sum it up here, What do you think our listeners, should do to stay healthy right now in this coming season? Bottom line, what should we do?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Yeah, in this season coming up now, what is the bottom line of what we should do to stay healthy?
Well, I think hand washing is number one.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the mall, when you go to the most people notice when you go to the supermarket, there are wipes for the handles on the shopping cart,
because
apparently there's a higher concentration of bacteria and viruses on the handle of the shopping cart than there is on a toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you should get everybody over the age of 6 months should get a flu vaccine. I think anybody over 65 should get flu plus Pneumovax and Prevnar. And I think people should also go online on the CDC website and look up, based upon their age, what do they need? And then on their own, proactively go into the doctor's office and say, look, I know you're busy, but I'm looking. I don't think my tetanus has been updated, for example. Maybe they need a shingles vaccine. I haven't had that. So, and I'll be quite frank with you, I love having my patients help me. I love when people call me and they come in and say, doctor, am I due for another one of these? Doctor, is my tetanus up to date?
Oh, yeah.
Or there's something called pertussis or whooping cough. Many people have grandchildren, and before they can even go to see the grandchildren in the hospital, the grandparents are told, make sure you have a pertussis so the child doesn't get whooping cough. That now we're seeing a resurgence of.
Now you know how old I am. I had the whooping cough.
Oh, you don't sound any older than 30.
Okay. Well, Doctor, I think this is absolutely fabulous. I think people should get in touch with you, look into it, free consultation. 215-PREVENT is a great number for people to call. And I think it's good. It's a unique practice. And believe me, I love my doctor, but I'm thinking funny things now. Okay.
Pat, it was nice talking to you.
Thank you, Dr. Rabinowitz. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's a good guy.